So our next guest will present a very different access to the topic on field, and I'm proud to introduce Mary Beth Beck from the US, and she holds a doctorate from the Harvard Graduate School of Design, and as senior research scientist she leads the Usable Smart Environments group at the FX Palo Alto Laboratory in California. And incorporated in 1959, it provides multimedia and information technology research for Fujitsu Xerox. And the main working areas of this laboratory are collaborative intelligence, multimedia computing, and smart environments. So I think these are very suitable working areas for dealing with content about on-field visions. And furthermore, I think especially Mary Beth is interested in the design of ubiquitous technologies, especially multimodal forms of human interaction, and also in how ubiquitous interfaces are informed by social context, and as well as its physical and perceptual constraints. And her expected talk will be about post-bits, and post-bits maybe gets an association to post-its in your mind, and it is one more strategy for on-field practicing, but referring to the interplay of media content and the physical dispersion in handling information. And she developed a patented approach together with Tony Dunningham, also from the laboratory, from the Palo Alto Laboratory, and also with Takashi Matsumoto from the Keio University. Maybe people who were here yesterday remember that we have other guests from the Keio University as well. And so I like to open the panel for the presentation about post-its and something like an augmented reality interface modeled after paper post-its. And I think it's very interesting because it uses interaction metaphors and is something like mobile digital content in public space. So please, Mary Beth. So you can decide whether if you'd like to use the fix or the mobile.
The mobile. Does that sound all right? I want to say that the person who should really be giving this talk is Takashi Matsumoto. He is unfortunately in Singapore giving a talk on his new project, which curiously enough has to do with umbrellas that are connected to the internet. He's giving that talk at the Mobile HCI conference there. So I'm going to talk about a project that we did a couple of years ago called Post-Bits. The basic idea here is Harry Potter post-its, right? So you've seen possibly the Harry Potter movies where they have the moving photographs, sort of little video loops in a photograph. The idea was that we were going to try to extend that idea and imagine the kinds of scenarios that might happen if you had those things available to you in real life and what kind of systems you might need to be able to manage them. What do you need for power? What do you need for data? How do you do the file transfer? All that kind of stuff. We also wanted to think about interaction issues. How would you actually interact with such a thing? I mean, maybe it's not just a flat photo with a video loop on it. Maybe it's something that you can flex and bend. And how do you make it rewind or slow down if you want to capture a particular frame to look at that's on a little file like that? Clear where a lot of the influences are coming from, out of the tangible media group at MIT in particular, and then also out of sort of the whole flexible display community. It was designed for e-paper. E-paper is a perennial tease. I remember when I first went to work at Park in 1996, they were like, oh, we're going to have e-paper for you to design on. Yeah, right. 11 years later, not quite. However, I don't know how much you guys know about e-paper, so I'm just going to do a real quick look at what it is. The basic idea is, this is like the very simple version that first came out of Park, what's called bichromal balls. Basically, there's a little ball. It's black on one side, it's white on the other side. They have different electrical properties. You can control which way it turns by applying different electrical current to different places on a fairly static background. That has been taken to a greater degree of finesse by a company called E-Ink. They actually have bendable displays. The nice thing about this is that it's a pretty... it's what they call bistable, which means once you put it into a certain state, you can cut the power. It'll stay in that state until you switch it again. So that's nice because you can give it a state and it will stay in that state until you tell it to change. It's writable. You can write on it. You can print it. It's actually in a state now where they're actually manufacturing rolls of it. So eventually, one's hoping that it'll actually turn into a technology you can have. Philips is doing a very nice thing that gives us hope for this idea of actual video e-paper. They're using a process called electrowetting. It's oil and water, so instead of using the little physical balls, they're using oil and water differentiation. Up to 100 times per second, which means we can have video rate. There's also color that people have been experimenting with, so it's coming. We're going to get there. But back to Post-Bits. Yeah, a little sidetrack there through the whole like e-paper thing. Paper bits are everywhere. We use scraps of paper for everything. In addition, we've noticed that the sticky-backed Post-Its, everybody loves them. One of the things that we do in our lab is we look at how people use documents. It's Xerox, we have to use the word documents, in the workplace. So there's been a lot of studies done on how people use Post-Its, and one of the ways that people use it is they stick them around their computer monitor screen. One of the things that we thought when we were first starting this project is, boy, I wish I could drag and drop stuff straight onto a Post-It. So that was one of the generating ideas behind this project. What would that look like if we could drag and drop a video file onto a Post-It note? So the idea was that you could take a piece of paper, and if it had a video file on it, it would be flexible. You could have different scenes on different little bits, and you could lay them out and sort them. You could bind them together. Having sorted them, you could bind them together into a little holder, and that would be one way of physically managing them. So basically, what we're trying to do here, that says worlds over there, is we're trying to bridge the physical world and the metaphorical world. It's not a desktop metaphor, per se. It's not a tangible metaphor, per se. We're really trying to sort of bridge those two worlds. It's a hybrid metaphor. So we actually built something not using e-paper because, please, they don't give us lousy researchers actual e-paper to play with. We did it with an LCD screen, and we were just trying to imagine what the data transmission would be like and what the power transmission would be like having built this thing. So what we did was, that's a computer monitor frame there that we just had a connection built. So what you can't see, it's kind of behind this thing. There's a microprocessor on board this thing that's actually picking up data from behind. There's a data connection and a power connection. You Velcro the bit on there, and it actually is able to talk to that particular computer. So one of the things that we figured out was that if you're sticking your little video Post-It right on the edge of your screen there, you can actually think of this as an extension of your GUI, of your graphical interface, of your GUI desktop. So you're able to sort of think of it as, okay, I'm just going to drop beyond drag. So you can drag a file to the edge of your screen, but then you drag it a little bit past the edge of your screen, and it actually would upload onto this. The other thing that would happen is, okay, you have this little Post-Bit-like thing, and it's got a video scene on it, and you want to download it onto your computer desktop. How do you do that? Well, you had this notion that you stick it on there, you squeeze it like you'd squeeze a ketchup packet, and it would squeeze itself out onto the screen. So these are just some of the methods that we thought of for interacting with the content on the physical piece of paper. Here's a closer look at the whole idea of how flexible they can be. And the video, by the way, that goes with this is available in the exhibition. You can go and take a closer look at it, and I'm going to show it here in a minute, too. But the idea here is that you can actually cause the video to go backward and forward, either by flexing it or by scooting your finger along beside it. And this is just a look at the idea of being able to sort the video frames. But what I wanted to do right at the moment is actually show you a bit of that video. Let's see now.
Postbit is a small e-paper device modeled after paper postage. We explored and designed interfaces to handle multimedia content with paper-like manipulations. The function of each Postbit tries to combine the affordances of physical tiny sticky memos and digital handling of information. At this stage of the design, we realized two features of the interfaces: connecting computer-based workspaces and physical workspaces. Its name drop beyond drag, and tangible and tactile operation of multimedia content.
I didn't do that. Blank post-its. Blank video post-its. Stick them in a binder. Stick the binder on the edge of your monitor. Drag a file onto it. Fix a representative keyframe to show you what sort of you've got on top on each of the files there, the post-its there. Sort them, put them in a different order. Stick them back in the binder. Squeeze the contents out onto your desktop, sort it into a different order. So you can see we'd have to write a whole software layer to be able to manage that kind of ease of sorting. So this is a social media device we have in our lab. People can upload video to it or upload web pages to it. It's just showing a scenario whereby you can walk up to it and squirt your own content onto it. Or this is another workplace scenario, showing a video file. Slow it down by flexing. Run it backwards with the touch sensor that's on the back. Oh, God. Okay. I'm not leaving that boy alone in the video studio ever again. Okay, let's see. I just wanted to give you one quick look at what's going on behind the scenes a little bit. Just a quick look. Okay, so this is actually buildable, by the way. We if they gave us e-paper to play with, this would actually be buildable. The idea is that you take flexible e-paper, and the visual part is on the front side. On the back side, you have flexible circuit. For example, Plastic Logics is one company that makes essentially plastic electronic circuits that you can flex. You'd have a touch slider and a flexible sensor, so it would know when you're flexing it. And the touch slider can either go this direction or it could go this direction. I think in the video we showed it going this direction so that you can move your finger along it that direction. The terminals, this is a data terminal, so that the data can go through when you stack a bunch of Post-its on top of each other. And this would be the terminal for data and power transmission. As well, we had this notion of a contact-free terminal for power induction. They have these things that you can just sort of lay something on and it'll repower your little battery from just a sort of inductive power supply. This just shows that a little bit in a little bit more detail. Around the edge of your monitor, you need to have a sort of a frame base, which is it needs to be a power rail and a data rail, basically, so that wherever you stick it on there, you're going to be able to pick up the correct connection. And this is the notion of the inductive data and power delivery. Imagined scenario for use. You have your computer set up. The base pad is something that we're talking about that had, would have both the data and the power terminals available in it. It could be an entire tabletop surface or a little surface beside your computer, or it's something that could be mounted on the wall. So that's pretty much, the general idea behind the whole thing. We were, coming up with some ideas of, what would you do with it, inside a Xerox machine where you could stick them, have a little, like video post-its about, what to do when something goes wrong in a particular place. But that's the basic idea behind the post-it scenario. So, I can ask her questions, but I have to warn you guys, I'm a little bit deaf, so you have to say them really clearly.
Well, print is currently slowly dying, as far as I see it. What is the purpose? It's like when you have the iPod right now, you can put as many pictures as you want and carry them with you, so where does this fit? Print is slowly disappearing from the world, so.
So you don't see a reason to want to have it be flexible or?
Yeah.
No? You don't think it'd be fun?
It's a really cool gadget, and I think the idea is great, but currently right now, there are so many other possibilities of carrying video with you or carrying pictures with you. So.
Mm-hmm. It's another possibility. But one thing, it's much lighter weight. It's paperweight, literally. That would be one thing. But the other thing about it is, so e-paper is essentially fabric. I mean, think about being able to squirt these things onto your clothing or whatever. So if you could stitch them together, they could be a quilt. So there's a lot of different, it's just another display technology. So, yeah.
I mean, you probably didn't think of that, but why do you think that you don't need, like, 10 of them. So.
Right. The question is, why do you need a bunch of them when a single e-paper could hold 10 of them? We wanted to be able to sort them. We wanted to be able to use the tangible properties of being able, okay, this is the bear shot, and this is the cat shot, and this is the dog shot. And be able to, do random sorting. So that's the whole tangible media aspect of the thing.
Isn't another advantage of e-paper is that it does not use very much battery power. It doesn't use very much power.
It shouldn't use that much power, because the whole point with e-paper is that the it doesn't use power at all unless it's actually running. But we haven't actually built it with the actual e-paper yet. We don't actually know exactly how much it does use. Less than your basic cell phone. Less than your basic LCD screen, by a lot.
And that's a major advantage.
I'm sorry?
That is a major advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
But similarly, the e-ink takes its power in transitions, and video is all transitions, so you can't argue power saving on video on e-ink.
Say that over again, I'm sorry.
E-ink is great because of documents, because you actually have a document there for 5 minutes.
Right.
But e-ink is actually power hungry if you have lots of transitions.
Yeah.
And video is transitions.
Yeah, it's power hungry because there's a lot of transitions, yeah, because video is 25 to 30 transitions per second. Yes, you're right. So, but it doesn't take any power to hold the display. That so, but you're right. Any time you're playing video, you got electricity going.
When are we going to be able to use it?
Yeah, when are we going to be able to have it? As soon as they let us actually have the video e-paper on the market. Like I said, they've been teasing me with this for more than a decade now. So, I'm sitting.
Can you customize the interaction once you put the post-its on your computer in a certain order or a certain spatial arrangement? Can you customize what happens after that?
What happens after you put them on the computer? Yeah, we didn't go that far because that would have meant Takashi had to stay another year instead of going back to his PhD program. But you can do like all of the stuff that you would do with video files, right? I mean, it would go into any video editing or any other thing.
Or an interface that allows you to use whatever files you have in your things and you can channel.
I'm so sorry, I'm not understanding.
No,
it's just I'm too deaf to hear you.
Yes, something that allows you to move the information around once it gets onto your computer in a more easy, flexible way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Come talk to me after. I have to apologize for the whole hearing thing. I'm doing
So maybe I like to change roles because I like to add something to the ongoing discussion here. So I think it is, or from my intention to invite Mary Beth and presenting Postbits here is quite less about technology, but it's visionary anyway. But I think it is nothing to think about replacing digital technologies and hardware that is well elaborated now, because I think it is more important to think about the use scenarios that are opened up by using Postbits. So when I think about Postbits and look the visionary video, I think first on something like a video blog in public space, so collecting multiple identities of places and so make visible the normally invisible for people crossing public space. And this is some kind of location identity Orkan Telan mentioned yesterday in his talk. So this is what I'm very interested in. So what kind of new scenarios of using does such ideas open up? So, yeah. So if there are any additional questions to this.
Would you also be able... would you also be able to write things on the Postbits? Because you mentioned something about writing on that paper, because that would make a big difference, because with video editing you just put your stuff on the computer, but if you would be able to make notes on it, that would be really good. So this is something that you can actually do with Postbits.
Yeah.
Yes, that's great.
Basically, there's a type of e-paper that is light-sensitive, and you would use a light pen to write on it. Or I think there's a picture in there showing one that's pressure-sensitive. You could use a regular pencil or pen to write on it, although that would kind of mess up the surface, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.